Thanks for choosing the Radio Today programme, your weekly look at what's going on in the radio industry. Hello, my name is Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this week's episode, Roy and I will talk through the Q1 2019 RAJAR figures and look at the new schedules just announced for Heart. Our main guest is Russ Williams. He's on to tell us about his reunion with Jono for Fix Radio and their podcast and much more as well. James Cridland will ask whether it matters where your radio station is based. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, we say hello to Mercia Sound and Laser 558. And Fern departs Radio 1. Radio Today.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Find out how we're changing radio all over again at bionic.radio. Radio Today.
But first, Radio Today's editor and founder Roy Martin is here. We're both back from our trip to London last week for Radio Audio Week, and the week brought us the gift of RAJAR as well. How exciting.
Oh, RAJAR. We love a bit of RAJAR, don't we? Just like the rest of the radio industry.
Hey, it was a bit more fun this quarter, though, because we got added Chris Evans to spice things up a bit, and he did all right.
It was, yeah, to be fair. In the decade or so that we've been doing, more than that, nearly 2 decades, RAJAR reports every quarterly. I think this was probably one of the most exciting, certainly one of the biggest changes with all the different shows starting. And as you say, Chris Evans, didn't he do well?
And he was wanging on about it on Thursday morning on his Virgin Radio UK breakfast show with Sky. Let's have a listen.
So after 10 weeks, 1.44 million listeners to the station, we are thrilled to bits. We're actually thrilled to smithereens. So I think that's the first for anyone. I have checked. So our mission statement, 2 million listeners after 2 years. So we're working on that. That's what we're heading towards. And then everybody here will be apparently happy jumping through hoops. So the goodwill that's swinging its way towards us. Thank you via you, by the way, of course, the listeners this morning. Well, I've never experienced anything like it. A bit, perhaps, when we did the big breakfast, which is not a dissimilar story. But when Rachel says there at the end of the news that the audience has tripled, I mean, you know, people said, well, why are they leaving Radio 2? And this is why we were doing it, to come here and to just give it a go, give it our best. You know, it's not often you get the chance to triple an audience in radio or telly. In fact, it's almost unheard of, as I say. So we're at 1.44, thanks to you guys. But here's the other thing, and this is more important in the business. It's the number of hours that people listen for that form the commercial basis of a radio business. Okay, and our target for that was 10 million hours by this time, so May next year. Okay, so middle of May next year, 10 million hours. We were at 1.7 before we started, before we moved here, and we're at 8.6 million already in 10 weeks. So that's great news, and that doesn't include April and the 2 weeks we've been on the air for May. And so those figures are pending and will form the first half of the next quarter.
I think he was perhaps going into a bit too much detail about hours and how important they are. Not sure the audience care.
He's moving into Chris Moyle's territory there, wasn't he? Talking about inside information. But it was good to know that, I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know the target was 2 million in 2 years and 10 million hours in 10 months, did he say? That's good then. He's done really well. He's probably on 10 million hours already. As he said, that doesn't account for April. So, yeah, I think we have a new saviour of digital radio. Didn't Chris Moyle say that he was the saviour of digital radio? And it's not quite working out as expected, I don't think. Certainly on the scale that Chris Evans is giving us. So, yeah, if Chris Evans makes everybody go out and buy a digital radio, then that's probably why we've seen an increase in digital radio ownership this quarter and digital radio hours and listening and everything else. So, yeah, onwards and upwards. Maybe there's something in this digital radio after all. You never know.
Yeah, I think the difference with Moyles is that Moyles had a few years off, didn't he, from Radio 1 Breakfast before he started on Radio X. So building that audience up has probably been a tougher thing for him, whereas Chris pretty much went straight from Radio 2 to Virgin and was talking about it on Radio 2 as he was leaving. So
true. Last link was, I'll see you over on Virgin in a couple of months or whatever it was. And yeah, and no disrespect to Chris Moyles, of course, because talent-wise, obviously they're both one of the best talents that this country has ever produced on the radio in the last sort of 10, 20 years. So wasn't dissing him at all by saying he's not done as good a job as Chris Evans, because, as you said, he had time off, and it's maybe a different kind of audience. So, Yeah, let's hope they can both carry on flourishing in the future.
And Chris has probably got the marketing spend from the Sun and the Times and the coverage that they're getting there, and the Sky partnership, which works both ways for the show, I guess. So there we are. But yeah, as we say, I think Moyle's on 928,000 now, with Chris on 1.048 million for the show across all three Virgin services. And Moyles is obviously on FM in London and Manchester as well, which Chris hasn't got. So, yeah, it kind of puts into perspective the achievement, really, in those first 10 weeks.
And it's good for radio. It's good for digital radio. It's good for the radio industry. Everyone's a winner, especially Chris Evans.
And as I think I pointed out on Twitter as well, if Rajar Smileys was still going, it would be a massive grin for Virgin
for this quarter. Rajar Smileys.
It was good.
I missed that. Like that.
Yeah, somebody should bring that back, whoever it was. But we don't know where necessarily some of these listeners are coming from, because the big assumption was that Zoe Ball would lose a load of audience. But actually, it's gone down like 20,000 quarter on quarter for the Radio 2 Breakfast show. So, you know, she might have lost some to Chris, but she's got new audience as well. So that's an interesting dynamic to it all.
I know where they've come from. Hallam FM 2. That's where they've come from.
Okay. Yeah, well, I looked at the national figures and you were doing all the number crunching on the local and regionals. And yeah, greatest hits pretty much down across the board, I think, was it?
Yeah, well, Hallam 2, to mention that one in particular, lost more than half its listeners. And it was pretty similar story for Manchester, for East Yorkshire and North Links. That's Viking. It went from 83,000 a year ago to 32,000 year on year. So all the two stations. I mean, this isn't real, because 50,000 people haven't just suddenly turned off the radio because the station's changed its name. As we know, it's all about recall. And if you're recalling Hallam, you look for the Hallam name. And if you're not particularly aware that it's changed its name, you don't go looking for Greatest Hits Radio West Yorkshire, for example. You're not necessarily aware that that's the station name, so you don't tick it. And yeah, it happens. You know, it happened with Virgin going to Absolute. The listeners were probably still there, but the radio says differently.
And it is only only a quarter in, and obviously the figures take it into account a bigger period, I think, in some of the cases. So yeah, remains to be seen how they perform. But I think Hits Radio overall was up a little bit. So, you know, that's starting to grow again. And they've just announced they're going to give away £1 million on Hits Radio. So that'll pull the listeners in this quarter.
Who says you can't buy listeners, eh? Here's £1 million. Come and listen to us.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hassel.
Right, well, you can get the full Rajar stuff, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk. See all our analysis and see all the graphs and everything like that. The other big story of the week this week was Heart changes. They've announced what's going to be happening the first week of June and who's getting all the drive time shows around the country. And it's a mix of existing drive time presenters, breakfast presenters, and people from other stations moving to Heart.
It is, yeah. London, JK and Kelly Brook are staying the same. We, I think, half expected Lucy to come back, didn't we, onto drive time, but she's nowhere to be seen on the schedule. So maybe they've got other plans for Lucy. Maybe
a secret
on a new
project.
Station. Yeah. Maybe she's going to Radio Toby in the future. Who knows?
Heart Toby.
Heart Toby. Yeah, there you go. And yeah, we've got a full list of who's doing what at radiotoday.co.uk. If you've missed it, it's all on there. Good luck to them all. I think somebody, one of the current Heart presenters, pointed out on Twitter that she'd had enough of people self-congratulating themselves, saying, oh, I've got a wonderful new show, when the reality was that, you know, 70 people are not having a brand new show. It was a bit delicate of a situation, but you got to do what you got to do, haven't you?
Yeah, it's always awkward. So, yeah, there have been lots of the thank you for listening and goodbye kind of tweets as well. And I know a lot of people have got another week or another couple of weeks on the drive show. So best of luck to those. And a little plug for our service that we're offering. If anybody wants any help in finding themselves another gig or promoting themselves to wider audio industries, you can look on our available page, radiotoday.co.uk/available, and tell us you're available for work. Well done with that initiative, Mr. Roy.
Oh, thank you very much. I've had a couple in this week, so I need to add those. And if you're one of the 70, just let us know. You know, if I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if you'll get a new job from it, but just to be out there, you know, somebody from Bauer or Nation or you know, abroad or any or the BBC could be looking at it one day. And because we've had a couple of people say to us, "Where's that page again?" And they've had a look and they've been in touch with people on the page, and the people have said, "Actually, no, it's fine. I've got a job now from." Not necessarily the page, but they've found their own job. So, you know, I've taken them down. So it's better to be on it than not, I guess. And it's difficult because it's 70 people this week that we've reported as an estimate. Mm. And when you put that into context, you know, this week British Steel could go into administration. 25,000 people work there.
Yeah.
And if British Steel goes tits up, 25,000, you know, it kind of puts it into context. And I know it's different because these are people we know and they're our friends and it's a particular job that people have worked their entire lives for. So it is a little bit different, but you've got to keep a reality check on it.
Yeah, and at 1,000 at Jamie Oliver's restaurants as well. So again, it puts it into perspective. But yeah, not to exactly. Belittle those that are losing their jobs in radio. But, you know, as we'll hear from Russ later on in this podcast, there is life after radio and things you can do and skills you can use. So, there is a positive message there somewhere, I think.
Russ Williams coming up. I'm looking forward to this. I'll stay yes. tuned to that one.
Oh, that's
I'll
very
stay,
kind of
stay
you.
Stay tuned and listen.
Well, Russ has got a podcast. We've got a podcast, obviously. You're listening to it now. And it was the Podcast Awards, British Podcast Awards, that happened on Saturday night. All the winners were announced. George the Poet is a podcast I've not actually listened to. I'm going to make a point of downloading some of his episodes this week and having a listen to those because he, I think, won 4 or 5 awards in all. You can, again, see all the lists of all the winners of the awards at radiotoday.co.uk. Brexit Cast won the Listener's Choice Award, and there was some good winners. I thought it was a nice mix of different types of podcasts winning. So well done to Matt and the team at the Podcast Awards.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that it's a podcast awards and it's not trying to be radio. So all our radio events these days are, as I mentioned to Nick Pitts on the show a couple of weeks ago, all the radio things that we've historically had as radio have suddenly become audio, and they're not just radio anymore. They're trying to incorporate everything, but the podcast awards are just podcasts with a little bit of radio in there, obviously, because radio people make podcasts. But it's good that that's there. And talking of events by Matt, it's sad news, actually, that Matt's other major event that he does with James Cridland, Next Radio, has been cancelled for this year. Did you know about this one?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're not doing the event this year. They're taking a break to reevaluate because the industry's changing, and that conference, the Next Radio conference, is all about ideas and programs. And, you know, the industry's changing so much that there's only two companies making content and programming on a large scale. So they need to work out where they're going with that, I think, is the idea for that that pause button, and who knows, hopefully they will be back.
And while we're talking about Matt, if his ears are burning, you might have seen, yeah, no, the same Matt Deegan. He tweeted this week about a new thing that him and his chief technical officer at Foldo have come up with, David, and it's called Podfollow. Have you seen this? Podfollow, basically, yeah. So you can find your podcast on Podfollow and create kind of a bespoke link which takes you to the relevant place depending on where you're trying to access it from. So people are saying it's a bit of a faff sometimes if you have a link to your podcast, but then you click that link from a phone, whether it's Android or iPhone, it doesn't take you to the podcast app. It just takes you to a web page or whatever. So they've created the thing called Podfollow. So try it now. If you go to whatever device you're on, if you go to podfollow.com/radiotoday, and it will bring up the Radio Today program. And if you're on a desktop site, it'll bring it up in your browser. If you're on a phone, it'll bring it up in your podcast app, native to your phone.
That's such a good idea. Because when we're doing the Radio Today program, we have to put a link to Google Play Store and the Apple iOS Store and or whatever it is. And so that's good. I saw you tweet that and make it a thing, and I didn't. I thought you just found a new service, but that's good that it's Matt doing it. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, so podfollow.com, look that up. We said we would mention it. So we're well into event season. It was Radio Audio Week last week, of course. Thanks for all your feedback on last week's podcast. What's next, Roy? Is it a podcast event, I think, isn't it, in London?
Talking of podcasts, yeah, it's the Radio Days Europe's Podcast Day. It's on all day in the centre of London, and that is on June the 13th.
Excellent. And then in July, there's the Digital Radio Summer Reception. We'll hopefully be at that on the roof terrace at News UK. And nice. Coming up later in the year, Imaging Days in Amsterdam. And then it'll be Rage Hour again before you know it, I guess.
Yeah, lots going on. If you want to see what is happening, radiotoday.co.uk/events.
Excellent. And I just wanted to mention this week as well, if you've ever worked in radio in the Northwest, either as a journalist or at the BBC in Manchester, you'll probably know a guy called Jonathan Alley. He's worked at Northwest Tonight as well. Much loved. And he's been having a tough time of it recently with his cancer treatment over the last couple of years. I found out recently that there's no going back for him, unfortunately. So people sending a lot of love to Jonathan, and we thought we'd do our own high five to Jally, as lots of people have been doing on Facebook at the moment as well. Our thoughts with you and your friends and your family at this time, Jally.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme. A big week for the current Virgin Radio Breakfast presenter with his latest Rage Hour. So why not get on the original and best, some might say, Virgin Radio Breakfast presenter. Russ Williams is here. Welcome to the podcast, Russ.
Well, we mustn't forget, Stuart, little Jono. And I use the word little advisedly. But yeah, we were the original breakfast show hosts, as you say. We did it for five and three quarter years until we had the tap on the shoulder. Come up to the office, lads. Just want a quick word. And then we said, oh, well, this would be nice, a pay rise. They said, you've just done your final show. Chris Evans starts a week on Monday, and the rest is history.
And he's doing all right for himself now. Do you think he'd get a million listeners in his first Rage
Hour? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Very well. Matt Deegan on Twitter had a little poll, didn't he? Have a guess. And I think my guess was 912. So I wasn't that far off, really, on the numbers that Chris added. And he always will attract an audience because he's Chris. And people love him. Obviously, people hate him, but enough people love him. And so I think for a first Rage Hour and not a complete one, I think it's a really good result for him.
It's not as high as what you used to get. But then you were on medium wave and FM and all sorts as well. But a million compared to, I mean, Absolute Breakfast thinks just over 2 million at the minute. And they've obviously got the bigger distribution. So, yeah, you can't argue with it.
No, definitely. I'm of the view that Wireless will do the best that they can for Virgin Radio UK. And they've started off now, or the relaunch, because essentially it has been, with Chris. And so let's see what he can do. I think it would be right to judge him 3 or 4 books in, you know, a calendar year. Certainly minimum of 3.
And you, I mean, you brought Jono up straight away, really. So you kind of go together, you two, like bacon
yes,
eggs
we do.
And all those
Again.
Other things. You can't shake him off. But you, I think you did a couple of months on Breakfast without him, first of all, didn't you, before he rocked up?
Yes, I did, with dear old Chris Watmo, bless his cotton socks, who was my producer. Jono, a.k.a. the Mound of Sound, was in the evening, and John Revel phoned me up, and he said, look, I've just got this really weird idea that you and Jono could do a good show together. And he said, are you up for it? I said, yeah, sure, I'll give anything a go. Because, you know, sitting on your own and doing a breakfast programme is a very, very difficult thing to do. That probably, off the top of my head, Terry Wogan was the only guy who managed to do it. You remember Steve Wright, great broadcaster, went on to Radio 1 Breakfast, never worked. And it's a spot that's populated by teams or double acts, isn't it? So I was listening to Zoe Ball this morning, and, you know, there's people, other voices popping up on the show all the time. If she was just sitting there playing records, it wouldn't be half as effective as I think it's probably going to be.
Yeah, and you and John are doing this podcast together, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yes.
But on that, you've talked about some of the stuff that happened back in the 90s on Virgin and that rivalry with Steve Wright. Was that real when he was on Breakfast?
No, not really. We were guests like Steve at the radio festival in Birmingham. And we were always, because even though, you know, we had a show that was listened to by a lot of people and a lot of people spoke about it, there was a good vibe, as Jono would call it. We still had problems sort of getting into the newspapers as much as we would like to and into the industry sort of journals.
There was no Radio Today back then, obviously.
No, absolutely. I mean, we love Radio Today. It gives us a fair bit of publicity. Thank you. Doff's cap, Stuart Clarkson, your way. So we thought, well, let's get some sheep in, because our view was that Radio 1 listeners were a bit like sheep and Virgin listeners were wonderful. So we let them off into Steve's pen outside the Radio 1 roadshow. And he saw the funny side of it. And in fact, we're still very friendly with Steve. He's a great guy and it was just a bit of fun. But that was a great radio festival. Steve was there, Nicky Campbell, Tommy Vance, Terry Wogan, you name it, they were there. And it was. I think it was taken in the spirit that it should have been. And it was just a bit of fun and rivalry, yes, with Steve and with Mark and Lard and with Chris Tarrant and with anyone who was on the radio when you're on the radio. And they would probably say the same. You need to get listeners. And in commercial radio, if you don't get listeners, you don't have a job. It's as simple as that.
And I always thought that you were the kind of, out of Russ and Jono, you were the mature, sensible one out of the pair of you. But having now heard your Russ and Jono rebooted podcast, and actually for my research for the interview, you found out that you're a lot younger than he is. Well, a little
yes,
bit younger than
thank
he is.
Thank you, Stuart.
that you're both pretty much daft, aren't you?
We both got a sense of humour and an eye for the unusual, or, you know, Mickey taking and what have you, but we have an ear for comedy as well. And when we were doing the original show, Graham Norton made one of his first radio appearances with us, Al Murray, the pub landlord, Eddie Izzard. I mean, they all came onto the show because the PR people were saying, this is a show you should go on. And fortunately, they did. So in a way, we're quite sort of pleased that, and proud maybe, that we were there at the very beginning of what have become really illustrious careers. And we've always had an interest in the funny stuff. I mean, Jono, slightly wackier stuff, really. It's his modus operandi. And occasionally, I have to put my foot down on his throat and say we're not doing that. But I have to say, since the podcast, the reaction was very good. And obviously, we've gone to Fix, which is in London and Manchester. Well, you can listen to it online. And Graham Mack and Louis Timpany and Tim Griffiths and Paul Chandler, the bosses, have just said, there's an hour a day, get on with it. And so far, no yellow cards or red cards from Ofcom and no complaints.
And you're enjoying doing the daft stuff again, because I suppose you've had a kind of serious jock career at Absolute on mid-mornings and at Smooth and places like that. So this is the kind of fun outlet for you and Jono to have a bit
of a play. It is. I mean, Jono was ill and is still recovering from cancer. And we were speaking and I just said, look, why don't we do a podcast? Everybody else is doing it. You know, life is too short. And that's how it started. And the plan is now, we haven't done any new episodes for about 3 months, is what we do at Fix will be turned into a weekly podcast, which is essentially the same stuff. Obviously, new material, Stuart, not repeats. So I enjoyed that for an hour a week. I absolutely enjoyed that. But by the same token, I take very seriously what I do with my sporting hat on it. I mean, I'm so thrilled to be able to work at Talk Sport and Talk Sport 2, where I've just completed a whole Premier League season of live football games for the latter. And I'm glad that I can float between the two styles of radio. And I can honestly say that I haven't really missed playing records. It's awful, really, to say that. No. But I haven't, because I love speech radio. It's what I listen to in my spare time most of the time.
And yeah, you mentioned it, obviously you've just done a season at TalkSport. Before that you were doing stuff for LBC London News alongside when you were at Smooth, and then obviously before that you did Rock and Roll Football, which you carried on.
Yes, I did. Six seasons
after you'd left the Daily Show. I think you were still doing that, weren't you?
Yeah, I did that until the end of the final season and worked with Ian Wright and Jim Proudfoot, two of the finest men you could ever meet. Charlie Jones was the producer. He's now producer of many things, including The Times, The Game podcast. So we've all gone on to do pretty good things. Jim is with me at Talk Sport and is still, in my view, the best football commentator on the radio that we've got, although they've got some brilliant ones at Talk Sport. So it was a way, really, that I wanted to go, really, made a conscious decision. And I worked for TalkSport 10 years ago when it was Virgin, before it was Absolute. And then when it became Absolute, it was, we don't want you working at TalkSport. They were quite happy to have me there. So I left, and after I had a sort of hiatus for about a year and a bit after I left Smooth, I kind of floated back in, which I'm so proud to be a member of the team because they're great.
You kind of left Smooth quite quickly. I think you did a couple of
years
there.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Did you get Parky's red card? Did you? Was that?
Did I get? No, I didn't get a red
card.
I never spoke to Richard. I never spoke to him. I never spoke to any member of management there about what I was going to do long term with any definitive answer from them. So it became quite apparent to me that it was probably going to be best for me and for them if I decided that come the end of the contract I'd go and do something else. So it was a disappointment. Obviously, I've let Richard know. He's fully aware of perhaps he didn't do the greatest by me, but hey, probably wouldn't be the first or the last, would I? But
because you worked for him in the 90s, didn't you, when you were at Capital?
Yes, I did.
90s, before Virgin. Yeah. So
I've got a lot of respect for him as a radio guy. I just think that the old people skills need brushing up on a little bit. That's all I would say. However, that was the radio business. I can tell you it has not been very well, as we all know. And a couple of months ago, I sent him an email wishing him well. And within about 5 minutes, I got a reply back. And he was pleased to hear from me. We're still talking. So there you go.
So, I mean, it's interesting. There's not a lot of people who've recently worked at Global and at Bauer. And obviously, you're now at Wireless.
Yeah.
And these kind of three big groups that are now dominating our industry. So
yes.
Do they know what they're doing? There's a lot of people saying, oh, they don't know what they're doing. They haven't got a clue about how to run a radio station. But clearly they do because they're making a success of it. Do you notice differences between the big groups?
Not really, if I'm honest. I think that Global and Bauer operate in a very similar way. The bottom line is the profits, and the audience figures a close second. And from where I'm sitting, when I look at the numbers, not only for the national brands, but everything else, and I'm not probably like you, Stuart, looking at it forensically, I can see what they're doing. It was an inevitability, I think, that it was going to go this way as radio develops. I mean, when I first started in radio, and probably when you were first involved in the industry, every major town had its own ILR radio station. Those were the golden days. You know, you could leave Centre Sound in Leicester and go to Metro Radio and earn yourself some more money, and there was some lovely active poaching going on. But that isn't the case anymore. The nature of the beast has changed, and numbersmiths, as I like to call them, the likes of Phil Riley and your John Myers of this world and what have you, have a much better handle on it. But I don't think it is good for young people, particularly who want to get into radio, because the opportunities are far less. And that saddens me a little bit. And I would love, you know, with other people in the industry to run a course where we could teach people how to be a presenter, the sort of stuff that Paul Chandler does, the legal side of it, you know, a sort of all-in-one course, get them to come out with a demo tape, and then with a hand on heart, Stuart, be able to say to them, right, here's a load of contacts. you should send your audio to these people because they're looking for people. You couldn't do that. It would be disingenuous. Mm. And that, in a way, is saddening, because I would love, personally, to give a little bit back and help people who want to make a career in the industry that I've been so lucky to work in for 35 years. I started very young.
And I think you did a blog about it when the global changes were all announced, and we were looking at what jobs might be going. And I think the point you made was, the people who've got these skills working in radio have got skills that are transferable. And you're doing that yourself because you're working in publishing now and doing audiobooks. So there is life after radio.
Yes. I mean, you just need a little microphone like this and the one that you've got. I've got an office here at home. And I narrate quite a lot of audiobooks. I also compile books, usually in the sort of self-help sort of genre. And we put them out in different markets as audiobooks, as written books and what have you. And I have to say that the clamour for audio, which is why I think we're seeing so many people podcasting and consuming audio in that way, and audiobooks, is quite extraordinary. We're at the beginning of the boom, a bit like we were with video a few years ago. And I hope to ride a modest wave on it, but I absolutely love narrating books, and I could probably do one in a week, which isn't bad.
Did I hear you're writing a book as well? You're writing a novel.
Yeah, I'm. To be honest with you, my mum has been diagnosed with quite progressive Alzheimer's, and anyone who's affected by dementia and Alzheimer's and worse will know that the amount of time that you have to spend caring for a parent or a relative massively increases. There's all sorts of people you have to liaise with and what have you. So that, together with my radio duties for wireless and also for Fix, has somewhat put the brakes on the book. But it is going to be finished. I woke up this morning, I was lying in bed listening to the dawn chorus in the woods where I live, and I thought, yeah, I've really got to get writing that book, because the story's in me. I think it's a great story. It's a novel. I'm going to promise myself that by the end of the year, I'm going to have the vast majority written.
We should probably point out that you don't live in the woods. You live a house in the woods.
Yes,
but
I do.
I don't live in a tree house,
Stuart. No, I live surrounded
you just
by
said
trees
I live in the
and
woods.
Greenery. Yes, but in the middle of a wood, and I really do. So it's hell in the autumn. It's a good job I've got a blower.
So you're doing these shows that are on Fix with Jono that go out every day. How different is it doing it on the line with him rather than being sat in the studio with him?
Well, interestingly enough, the bit of software that you use, am I allowed to say what it's called?
Yeah, we can do commercial plugs here.
IPDTL is exactly what we use. There is an extension for it for people who are interested, which I know you use, Stuart, with an ISDN facility.
Yeah.
And that is how we do it. And even to Australia, the sort of time lapse, the delay is absolutely minimal. It is incredible. So I sit in the studio in London, and although I'm thinking of getting this software now, and I can sit in my lovely office surrounded by the trees and do it. But to be serious, Jono goes to a proper studio in Sydney. We connect up like you do when you're doing stuff, and we just do the show. And because we both understand kind of naturally that there is a bit of a delay, we've now learned to just take a breath before we move on, which makes it easier to edit. And when Jack, our producer, edits it, of course, he makes us sound tight and bright.
And I guess if you're in each other's eye line, you're trying to make each other laugh a little bit, so you don't really get caught.
We were doing our spoof news readers the other day, and I knew the punchline that was coming, and I just corpsed. And I think they've left it on the show for later this week. I think it'll be on, because they leave it all on, warts and all. You know, they're great at Fix. They're progressive, and they've got big plans for the radio station. And I've got to say, despite talking to other people, one or two other people with mild interest in us doing stuff for them, we're going to stick with Fix. And people might think, well, why? Because loyalty counts for something, and they're loyal to us and gave us a chance again, and we'll stick with them.
They're posting bacon butties out to Jono every day, are they? Is that the...
Well, yeah. I'm not sure whether he'd eat them anymore. You know, I mean, he sends me after we've done the show, because it's evening time in Sydney, his staff are cooking for him, and he sends me pictures of his dinner. And it was his daughter. I think he's changed his lifestyle, apart from the odd vodka and tonic, because he had to, you know. And I'm so pleased that he's a lot better. It's brilliant news. Otherwise, I'd have no one to do a show with, would I?
And you've got a summer off the football and back to it in August for a new season at TalkSport, I guess, yeah?
Well, yeah, that is the plan, certainly, within the wireless group. And, of course, TalkSport and TalkSport 2 are on the same floor as Chris and the new Virgin yes. Radio. So I get to see a few old faces and quite a few new faces from that end of the floor.
And they're something else, aren't they? They're really nice studios.
Yes, they are. They really are. And, you know, it just underlines that wireless is one of the big boys, exactly like Global and Bauer. And long may they continue, just like Global and Bauer, because it's really important radio for boosting morale, keeping people entertained. Who wants Spotify when you can tune into your favourite personality at whatever time of day?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on, Ross. It's nice to catch
up. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. And
thank you, Stuart.
It's good to know that you're a geek like the rest of us.
Well, I'm a trainee geek, but I think if I spend a bit more time with you, I might become fully fledged. Who knows?
Thank you, Russ. Still to come, we've got James Cridlin in a moment. Also, some radio moments from David Lloyd. If you haven't had a go with CleanFeed yet, it's worth trying it out. CleanFeed.net is the place to head. Basically, it's a way of connecting in good quality using the internet. And you could do your show from somewhere different to normal. You could get a guest on who's not in the studio. You could do an OB, an interview for your podcast. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use. The quality is great, and you can record within the browser as well. CleanFeed is free to get started, doesn't cost you anything. It'll just take you 30 seconds or so to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist.
Brisbane's 97.3.
Something fun is happening in my hometown of Brisbane, Australia. Some of our radio stations are on the move. Top 40 station Hit 105 and rock station Triple M lived in buildings in North Quay next to the river where they've been for the last 20 years. They're moving 2 minutes walk away up the hill to Petrie Terrace, a new entertainment district with a cinema, restaurants, and next to Caxton Street, one of Brisbane's oldest entertainment streets with bars, pubs and clubs. It's just a minute's walk away from Suncorp Stadium too, the city's sports and entertainment arena. Meanwhile, the AC-formatted 97.3 and hot oldies station 4KQ just moved from a dumpy building in Stones Corner, an out-of-town location 5 kilometres away from the city, where they've been for the last 30 years. They're moving to a building on Coronation Drive in Milton, overlooking the river and close to both the city centre and to a restaurant district that also boasts the highest concentration of beer breweries, including Queensland's famous 4X. Both sets of people are excited by the move, since for the first time, they both get actual views of the city. 97.3 gains signage across one of Brisbane's busiest roads and a significantly better working environment that should help recruitment, particularly in sales. While Hit 105 will be close to a new entertainment venue to be built in the next 5 years, currently called Brisbane Live. Hit 105 has never been able to see out of the studios before, and so I'm told the old building didn't really get on well with Brisbane's occasional subtropical rainstorms, a tarpaulin and quite a few buckets being pressed into service every so often. Triple M made the most of the move by auctioning off their rock memorabilia for charity, according to Seven News.
We've been in this building close to 20 years. It looks like we've kept everything. I can assure you that's not the case, but we've kept a lot of stuff.
Stuff like CDs and lots of them. LPs, record players, vintage posters and a few big ticket items.
Radio stations really don't need to be centrally located anymore, of course. You could argue it makes little difference to the on-air sound whether a station's in the middle of a business park or has prime real estate in town, and technically it doesn't. But it's easy for an out-of-town radio station to lose ties with the very city it broadcasts to. If radio's unique point of difference is that it offers a human connection and a shared experience, perhaps it's important for the on-air team to live and work in the centre of the city, not an anonymous building miles from anywhere. Only then can each and every person really feel part of the community that they broadcast to. Moving two stations is hard. Moving four in the same 2 weeks is harder still. Here's hoping everything works. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. It was this week in 1980 that Coventry got its first taste of commercial radio.
This is Mercia Sound on 220 metres medium wave, 1359 kilohertz and 95.9 VHF in stereo. For the very first time, good morning from Mercia Sound.
Pretty slinky and appropriate, eh? Finding a record called Radio to play on the radio. Mercia Sound is the radio station to which you are listening. A group called Dolly Dots and a presenter called Dave Jameson has picked that as his hit pick. After the 9:30 news, you'll be able
the
to
launch
hear
of Mercia Sound in Coventry. Ian Rufus, who died this week 3 years ago, was in charge, and he recalls the station was very nearly called something else.
We'd originally wanted to call the radio station WKCV. We didn't want to call it Mercia. We wanted to call it WKCV, standing for Warwickshire, WK and CV, Coventry. But the Independent Broadcasting Authority had the last word on what you call the radio station. And they said, you're not calling it WKCV. And I said, why not? And they said, because it sounds too American, far too American. You've got to give it a proper name. And I said, what's wrong with WKCV? You're not calling it WKCV. So we called it Mercia in the end because the buffet at Coventry Railway Station was called the Mercia Buffet.
Happy anniversary to Mercia. It's now free radio. Even though it's 30 years this week since James Naughtie did this key interview on the Radio 4 Today programme with Labour leader Neil Kinnock, I suspect both still remember it.
That kind of action could produce results, and what would those results be? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, look, Jim.
Yeah?
They're making a god-awful mess of the economy.
Yeah.
They're about to slaughter it. I'm not going to sit on this programme and have a bloody WEA lecture on what the Labour alternatives might be in 3 years' time. For Christ's sake, we're the opposition. They're the government. They've cocked it up totally. Well, I'm not going to sit here and be bloody quizzed on the alternatives. He's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He's buggered it up totally. Blown away £100 billion worth of oil revenues.
Well,
none of that's our fault, and we've been coming on programme after programme after programme for years, telling them not to do it.
Well,
no, for Christ's sake.
But you could say it. But you could say that. I mean, I was sort of inviting you to say that.
I've just bloody said it, and you asked for the fourth time, so what would you do? Come on, Jim.
Well, I mean, I'm
look,
flabbergasted,
to be honest.
They're
smashing up our country.
James Naughtie with Neil Kinnock. James Stanage was a familiar early name on Piccadilly Radio in Manchester, and he left there for the first time this week in 77.
Well, it's 6 minutes to seven. I'd like to say goodbye. Thank you very much for having me. I'd like to thank Piccadilly for inviting me back, and I've really, really enjoyed it. And thank you all for writing in and having so much fun with us. And lastly, but not leastly, I'd like to thank the Independent Broadcasting Authority from the heart of my bottom. I mean, bottom of my heart. And have a lovely summer. I'm off to the States. I'll see you sometime. I'm going to leave you with something that I treasured as one of the best, fantastic tracks I've ever heard in my life. Bob Dylan and Hurricane, Andy Peebles.
James Stanage's last Piccadilly show, first time around, this week 42 years ago. When it comes to the offshore pirates, the last influential one was probably Laser 558. It began this week 35 years ago.
Well, after months of testing and extensive preparation, a new radio station began broadcasting from a point somewhere in international waters. The station, calling itself Laser 558, is playing music for all of Europe and claims to be never more than a minute away from music. Yet another historical achievement in the event in the annals of broadcast history, and we'll have more on that. That's what's happening. I'm David Lee Stone, and now more hit music on Laser 558.
And whatever that radio station is.
I don't know. I can't pick it up.
I think we can see it from here.
All I hear is a lot of static.
All right. Well, let's see. A 558 kilohertz on the dial, perhaps, all right?
Oh, okay. We'll try that one.
Wang Chung on Laser 558!
Take your baby by the hand.
All hits, all the time. Laser 558. 6 minutes before 8 o'clock UK time. That's 6 before 9. Central Europe, I'm Rick Harrison with Cool in the Game.
Tight, focused, contemporary daytime radio, the sort we get everywhere now. Laser attracted huge audiences in the UK. It was only on AM. It was only on air for just over a year and a half. But nevertheless, its impact is heard to this day. Back then, of course, the BBC wasn't as focused as it is now. And commercial radio had to have lots of speech to illustrate that beautifully. Let's think back to this week in 1975, and Plymouth Sound is getting ready to go on air. You'll love this.
261, that's Plymouth Sound.
My name is David Bassett. Here is a little of the sound that you'll be hearing on Plymouth Sound, your ILR station. Our programmes will be varied, reflecting the running story of life in our coverage area. News? Here is Malcolm Carroll, our head of news and public affairs.
Using all the resources of independent radio news and our own news team, Plymouth Sound will bring listeners up-to-the-minute bulletins on the hour and half hour. And this is how you'll hear the headlines.
News headlines on Plymouth Sound.
And this is how you'll hear about Tradio.
Oh, yay!
Doesn't it just make you want to join their imaging team? My goodness me. Right, from the press, the Daily Mirror, this week in 1961, underneath a headline about whether we should join the common market, there's an article called Radio Booming, Thanks to Pops, written by Clifford Davis, who writes as follows. Music and record shows are giving radio its biggest ever boom, said Mr. Dennis Morris, BBC Light programme head last night. And it goes on to say, Saturday Club, a pop music show, is heard by 8 million people, more than 1.5 million, more than a year ago. Easy Beat, another pop music show, is heard by 6 million, double its audience of last year. Mr. Morris, 53, said,
there's a new young audience for radio. To them, television is not the magic thing it was for people my age.
You'd imagine the BBC would have inferred something from those youth audience trends, wouldn't you? But there we go. Right, 2015 now, and a departure for Fern Cotton.
We've had literally everyone under the sun, so I can't moan. You know, we've had Foo Fighters, Eminem, Adele. You know, everyone. Like, there's just, you know, the best back catalogue of people that have been in.
Now, listen, you've made the, you know, FHM sexy woman list. Many
more, too old. Well, the whole being on any kind of sexy list, I think, is completely off the radar right now, looking at the state of me. If we get £2 million,
right,
I will do the next 20 minutes in my swimming costume. Now, I think those days are gone, so I will cherish them dearly that anyone found me attractive. That's wonderful. But yeah, my passion is definitely not lounging around in some sort of bikini. It is definitely cake forever.
Fern Cotton leaving Radio 1 4 years ago. So with the first Simon Mayo Radio 1 breakfast show 31 years ago.
Simon Mayo, good morning.
The launch of the Yorkshire Radio Network 32 years ago, bringing together Hallam, Pennine and Viking.
Hey, we're everywhere, Hallam, Pennine and Viking. Of course, let me just say good evening to everyone in Huddersfield, Halifax, Grimsby, Doncaster, Barnsley, Rotherham, Scunthorpe, Chesterfield.
The earliest radio fail of all, 82 years ago.
At the present moment, the whole fleet is lit up. When I say lit up, I mean lit up by fairy lamps.
And the death of Christopher Stone, the UK's first DJ, 54 years ago.
I know you'd like to hear the rest of that, and so would I, but I just want to interrupt and explain a word.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thanks as well to regulars James and Roy and our special guest, Russ Williams. Thank you, Russ. Hope you enjoyed listening to Russ as much as I did chatting to him. It's bank holiday next week. Not sure what we got planned for the podcast. Hopefully some radio news will happen and give us something to talk about. We'll find out. Join us next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.